13 years, but Sale Sharks have another bit of silverware to add to the trophy cabinet. We are coming to you, our listeners, straight after the Premiership Rugby Cup final. That's our Sale heroically triumph from the depths of defeat to beat Harlequins 27-19 and pick up the first trophy since that Premiership title in 2006, and of course the first trophy of the Orange and Mason era. My name is Lewis. I am absolutely ecstatic, and I'm joined by my equally ecstatic co-hosts, Alex and James. Alex, it's 10 o'clock on a Monday night. You just watched Sale win a trophy. What are you feeling right now?
I can't believe it. I just don't. I really doesn't feel real, does it? We've actually won something. I've been supporting us for 15, 16 years. And I had two good seasons in my first two seasons. And then after that, it's been nothing but pain. So I don't really know how to react, mate, if I'm honest. James, how are you?
Well, I'm just in shock that we won a game that we didn't deserve to win. Never mind that it was a cup final. I'm still in shock at that. But no, it's absolutely fantastic to, you know, a bit like 2001 and two, where it felt like the team was on the upward curve. You know, look, this time we haven't played that well, but under pressure, we've got ourselves some silverware, and you just feel, you hope at least, that we're on the upward curve to something bigger and better.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the game in a moment, but let's go round the horn here really quickly. We've spoken about it for months now, about what a Premiership Rugby Cup win would mean for Sale and the project that's being built at the club at the moment. You know, Alex, you know, what do you think this means for the club? You know, given our stated objectives for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think to get a trophy is absolutely massive, isn't it? Because it is sort of tangible evidence of you know, you're doing something. I know that it's the Premier Rugby Cup and it's not quite, you know, at the same level. But, you know, we played dreadfully in that game. We were rubbish, as our WhatsApp chat evidences, as I have a breakdown all the way through the game. And we still won it. So I said at one point when we were looking dreadful that, you know, when Exeter won this competition, and it was kind of like their springboard to sort of go, right, you can win something now, you've done it, and now you go on and do better things. And, you know, I think that's kind of what I hope we get out of it, and that, you know, we've been in a final, we've been under the cosh, we've been under pressure, and you could see how much it meant to our players in the game. Even at the start, because we looked like, you know, we were so up for it and almost too up for it at the start, you know, to then kind of see that out, playing that badly. And, you know, it's almost like that's such good experience for a squad, sort of low on that kind of experience. You know, I know you've got people like De Klerk who played in the World Cup final and Tuolangi and Tom Curry, but there's a lot of, you know, the core of our squad who don't have that highest level finals, you know, end of competition kind of experience. So I think that's the massive takeaway from it. You know, yes, it's just the Premier Rugby Cup, and you know, yes, maybe we should have won it on paper, but to actually go out there and do it, especially after being 9 points down and under the cosh, is really, really impressive and genuinely not something I associate with Sale over the last 10, 12 years. So I hope that it's kind of a mentality shift, and it's a bit of a springboard onto success in the next couple of years, as you say.
Well, that comeback aspect of the game, the fact that Sale went down 19 points to 10, they have 15 minutes left, they get the try, then they get the take it to 19-17, then they get the penalty to take the lead, and then they obviously get the De Klerk try right at the end. James, we were talking just before we started this about how, you know, you were kind of commenting on our little WhatsApp group about how Sale, you know, historically really struggled to come from behind and win games when they're under the cosh. We've done that now, and we've done it in a cup final. And we were chatting about how the core of our squad is relatively young. And what do you think this experience that we've seen this evening is going to mean for those players as we kind of kick on and maybe go after, as Alex hinted at, the more prestigious trophies that the club will want to win?
Well, it's going to stand us in really good stead because, you know, it's like all things in life. You know, if you don't feel you can do something, then it's always important to reflect on when you've been in a similar situation and come through it. And that can help give you that resilience and confidence that actually everything will be all right. And it was quite interesting because I think in the first part of that game, the first 12 minutes or so, or maybe 15 minutes, we were just absolute lunatics. We gave away a couple of silly penalties, but we were like physically, completely, absolutely on it. But scoring that first try was quite difficult. There on in, when we were 10 points up, we almost played like, you know, with all the pressure in the world, really. And it really, you know, stunted the way that we played. We have a basic game plan anyway, but when you take out kind of like individual decision making and confidence and you know, and you add pressure, then it was really difficult to watch. And we didn't sort of come back into our own again, I felt. And I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think we almost then started playing much better later on in the game, last 15 minutes or so, almost when the game had gone away from us. And, you know, you'd say that in the majority of games, a professional game, certainly a professional final, being 9 points ahead with kind of like 18 minutes to go, whatever it was, 17 minutes to go, like you'd expect Quinns to, you know, 9 times out of 10, maybe 19 times out of 20 to see out that game. And we almost just like relaxed back into the game and played some good rugby, came back into things, making good individual decisions. And I think that, you know, there's always two sides to this. One is we stayed mentally in it, which is, as I said, it's going to be really good to sort of reflect back on that in future finals, fingers crossed. And secondly, you know, Quinns kind of gave us every opportunity to come back into that game. When the pressure went on to them, they had the fade and they had it at the wrong moment, and we were there to take advantage of it.
Go on, mate. You can say it. What did Quinns do?
Threw it away, mate.
They bottled it.
They bottled it. They did bottle it, yeah.
So I think you make a really good point there in that Sale, especially in that second half when we first come out, we look really tentative. We look nervous. There's about 3 instances in a 5-minute period where we were moving the ball out wide and it was going 2 or 3 yards behind our winger. And in moments like that, you were thinking, this game is slipping away from us. We just don't have the right mentality. The pressure's getting to us. We could see the scoreboard sort of ticking away from us. And like you said, it almost as soon as we had nothing to lose, we started playing with a bit more purpose, a bit more clarity. But we can't ignore the fact that Quinns, you know, the penalty at the scrum to give away with the push after the engagement, that allowed us to kick to the corner. You know, the kind of moments where we really started to twist the knife and Quinns really struggled to keep up with our pressure. You can make the case that maybe the Will Evans try, Will Evans penalty shouldn't have been a penalty. It looked pretty touch and go. But that was symptomatic of the fact that we really started to turn the screw on them a little bit, play a bit more direct, play with the shackles off, and we looked like a better team for it. And from that aspect, it's so frustrating because you're like, why couldn't we have just played like this for the entire game? We would have won it at a canter. But we've seen the good and bad from the Sale tonight. And the fact that we are sitting here with a trophy to our name, having played pretty poorly over across the entire 80 minutes and won it with, I don't know, a solid period of 15 minutes, says a lot about the talent in our team and what can be done when we are actually playing to our full potential. So, Alex, do you agree that this was a bottle job by Quinns?
It was a bottle job by Sale first, and then it was a bottle job by Quinns, wasn't it, really? We completely bottled it after being 10-0 up and having them been down to 14 men. Honestly, I think there's an element of it that is bottle job by Quinns, but then I think you're right that like some of the referee calls in this game were a bit odd. Like that Will Evans one, I think it's probably a very harsh penalty, but then the reversal of the penalty after the scrum that we won was a ridiculous call. And as you rightly said on Twitter, it was just obscene and he should apologise. And then the next penalty Quinns got for 3 points was completely in at the side. It was blatant. So I think, you know, there's an element of Quinns' bottle job. And I think we just took advantage. And I think you probably saw that Quinn's played the first 60 with Danny Kerr and Mike Brown and Chris Robshaw and all that kind of now. So we probably didn't quite have that. And then we bring on De Klerk, Tom Curry, Tyrrell Langley, and in kind of the pressure moments, you know, Tom Curry makes a massive turnover, you know, to get the momentum back to us. And De Klerk scores an individually brilliant try. You know, so having those kind of people, and, you know, Tyrrell Langley, I thought once he came on, our back line looked so much more fluid, partly because Sam James went to 15. But I just, you know, I think, yeah, maybe there's a bit of a Quinn's bottle job, but it's probably also, am I about to say this, a little bit of tactics paying off almost, you know, because I was saying at one point, we just have to get all of our subs on now because it's going down the pan. But, you know, the way we timed our subs and the way that sort of turned the momentum, I think probably when we look at it in the cold light of day, might get a bit more credit, you know, when we brought the clerk on, when we brought Tyrrell Langley on, that kind of thing. I might be talking rubbish, and it is brilliant that Quinn's bottled it. I'm so happy. But I also think a bit of credit has to go to Sale for kind of turning that pressure back on them and executing when we got the chance as well. You know, none of our tries were easy tries. They were finished well. And, you know, I think we just kind of started to believe towards the end, which is quite nice because as a Sale fan, belief has been in short supply.
It really helps when the rolling maul is getting working. And obviously that was a massive thing for Sale, scoring two tries off the back of the rolling maul, the Curtis Langdon one, and then the Dan Dupria one later on in the game. And that kind of brings me to some of the players that I really want to highlight. And James, I'll go to you first. I mean, who do you want to talk about, Curtis Langdon or Kobus Vise? Because both of those two players were absolutely impeccable for Sale tonight. And I think a massive, massive reason why Sale were ultimately able to lift the first bit of silverware in 14 years.
Yeah, I mean, if our line out had worked like it did against Bath, I mean, we 100% wouldn't have won that game. You know, it just one less thing for us to have worried about this time round. And it's functioning. You know, Fisa has obviously been around for not too long. Curtis Langdon's played well every time he's played. So since the return, I'd say he was just a little bit too hot-headed right at the beginning of the game, just too pumped up. And he didn't have clarity of thought around some of the decisions he made, not just at the back of the maul where he should have scored just before he actually did score. And he made a terrible decision and then left the ball behind. But he sort of flew into a couple of contacts and went off his feet and things like that. But yeah, he was excellent and his throwing was brilliant. He's looking super, super fit and up for it. But what I like as well is that, you know, those quick tap and goes that he was trying to do right at the beginning of the game. He's obviously been watching what Luke Cowan-Dickie's been doing at Exeter and he's obviously looking to add to his game all of the time. Obviously, it's a worry that Akko's clearly having a big problem with his injury and we might not see him now until the knockouts, I'm not sure. But yeah, Kurt, both of those two that you mentioned were excellent. And Rob Dupria got man of the match. And, you know, look, he kicked his goals. But I thought that Langdon or Vise should have got man of the match.
Vise, I think, for me, kind of showed the potential of why we brought him in. He looked disruptive, combative. He did a very good job of challenging the air actually as well, which is an area that we've struggled with. We have a lot of line-out jumpers on our own ball, but we do sometimes struggle to really put pressure on the opposition's line-out. And I thought he did a really good job there. And you could really see the kind of the bulk and the shift that he could apply as part of the rolling maul because it worked brilliantly for us. And Quinn's really struggled to get any momentum off the back of that. Alex, Rob Dupria, from my perspective, I thought he was a bit MIA for you know, maybe 30, 40 minutes in the middle part of the game. But when the time came, he rose to the occasion and kicked all his kicks. I mean, what did you make of the man of the match on the night?
I don't think he had a great game. And not in a, you know, a orange way. You know, I think he was the difference between, you know, his kicking was superb. From the tee. But other than that, I think, you know, the attack didn't really get going. We didn't really move us around the field. It was almost like he was playing as a, you know, as an NFL style kicker, where we just, you know, we could have just brought him on and said, right, kick that between the posts, and he did. And to be fair, they were tough kicks. They, you know, I don't think there were many easy kicks amongst them, and he absolutely nailed all of them. So fair play, and you know, he deserves one of the match because he probably was the difference between the two sides in the end. You know, we don't kick all those kicks, we probably don't win the game, but I thought other people had a bigger impact on the game. I completely agree that Curtis Langdon, I thought, was superb. You know, I think he is clearly ready to be a Premiership starter. I know that we probably brought Weber in for a bit of comfort, but I don't think that's needed. I think Langdon looks superb. I think Ack is a great player. Obviously, he's got this injury worry, which is probably why Weber came in. But then I thought Ewan Ashman looked really good when he played the other week as well. But I think Langdon is making the case to be our starting two going into next season. You know, Acker brings something completely different to kind of pretty much any other hooker in the league. He's just so dynamic. But I think Langdon's throw-in was absolutely on point tonight. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we lost a line-out. Or maybe we did a couple, actually. Maybe I said that bad. But I thought the line-out looked really solid anyway compared to what it's been like. And then I think the biggest impacts came from the bench. You know, I think De Klerk made a massive difference when he came on. And I said before, Tyrell Lange and kind of that change in the back line, bringing Sam James into 15, but then to come in as a second receiver, just made us look so much more fluid in attack. But yeah, there weren't actually. It's a strange one to say. And I think the other massive credit has to go to Will Griff, John and Valerian Morozov, who I thought were brilliant off the bench. I don't know what Jake Cooper Woolley does wrong. And I think Dimes made the comment about it, which he's probably now going to get fined for on BT Sport. But, you know, those two completely dominated the scrum once they came on. So that was really important in turning the momentum as well. So I think if anyone's going to be man of the match, you can't give it to someone who's come off the bench. But I think a lot more people who came off the bench made a case for it than Rob DiPrea. But at the same time, you know, he's got massive balls to be nailing those kicks because some of them are under real pressure. So absolutely fair play. And hopefully this kind of kicks him on into a bit of confidence for the rest of the season as well.
I think especially that kick when Taylor 17-19 down to put us into the lead. It's a pretty simple kick. It's relatively central, but you do need nerves of steel just to kick it, get it over the posts, and obviously take the lead with a few minutes left. So I think I agree on all those points, and I'm glad you mentioned Morozov and Will Grichon, who both looked absolutely immense when they came on. As you said, Dimes said during his BT Sport interview, he doesn't know what Cooper Woolley does wrong, but apparently the refs have a meeting every week to determine that they're going to ping him at every scrum. Interesting choice. He'll probably take the fine, but I don't think he'll care too much this evening. But when Morozov and Will Griffith John came on, they were real game changers for us. And actually, that kind of pressure I was alluding to before, where Sale start to turn the screw a little bit, put the pressure on Quinns, and Quinns start to implode. A big part of that was the scrum, where we managed to turn an area that had been a weakness throughout the first few minutes of the game into a real area of strength for us to kick on. James, the kind of final player I want to mention is De Klerk, because I feel like tonight's game kind of epitomises the way Sailor want to play. You have your Langdons, your Morozovs, your Kobus Vises, the real kind of hard nose, you know, northern grit, you know, get the job done, build the platform for the team. And then you have someone like De Klerk who comes on, and I don't think necessarily had the best game of his Sale career, but all of a sudden it's a little bit of magic right at the end to drive the dagger into Quinns' heart, get the try over in the corner and seal the game. And I don't know if you had any thoughts in terms of how tonight kind of represents exactly what Sale are trying to build with that kind of blend of homegrown, you know, Premiership quality talent sprinkled with that just extra something from the real world class players who were there to make the difference in key moments, such as in tonight's game.
Well, I'd like to see more homegrown players in a final like this, but how brilliant to be able to bring on a World Cup winner. And, you know, I think that was part of the belief in the team that we could get this over the line against the flow of play. because when you have got De Klerk on the pitch, you know he can create something from nothing. And when you are 9 points down with like 18 minutes to go, that's exactly what you need. And then, of course, his try, it reminds me of one maybe about 4 or 5 seasons ago, Sam Tuatupu picked one up, very similar position, just found there was no defenders. And everyone was like wondering what was going on, but De Klerk had much more finishing required left to do. Really good step off his left foot. Did wonder whether his left foot was in touch at first, but actually it was nowhere near on the replay. But then just to that focus that he had under huge amounts of pressure to get the ball down. How many people have you seen there? Try to get the ball down, and there's a knee in the way, and you lose the ball. The way he just stabilised his core, got both of his hands on the ball and just made sure that ball got to ground. And he didn't do it by trying to shove it to ground either. Like, he placed it down really carefully. And I think it's, you talk about those world-class players who just have that moment extra just to think. That was one of those moments where he just thought and put it down. And I reckon a few players would have fumbled that over the line in the end. So, brilliant try. And then, of course, a brilliant kick from Rob Dupree. And I completely agree. I mean, with Rob, if he gets his first kick, you could be on, you're 90% plus. If he misses his first, he could be 50%. But he nailed his first kick from the first try, which was over near the right-hand touchline. Most of his kicks, none of them were sort of, an absolute double. Maybe the 3 points that took us to 10-0 up was probably the easiest, wasn't it? But like, none of them were absolute gimmies, and some of them were really difficult from the touchline. So fair play to him. That's what he's paid for, really. And as you said, Alex, actually was probably the difference. So I can understand why he got man of the match. But in terms of an all-round performance, I'll still go back to Curtis Langan, who, again, I agree with Alex, should be now first choice for those last two games of the season.
Right, there's a couple of things we have to talk about before we move on. And first of all, I mean, what do you boys think of... I've got a question for you. Tonight, James, what was worse? Tom Foley's decision to reverse a penalty for Danny Kerr hanging off of Dan Dupree's arm whilst he tried to take a quick tap, or Sam James's lid that he debuted?
I mean, they were both absolutely atrocious. I'm going to say that Sam James's hair was pretty awful, but he still has cracking legs. Whereas Foley had a shocking decision there, and the rest of his decisions didn't get much better. I can't think of much else better to say about him. I mean, there was everything wrong with that decision. And Kerr knew it, and he was grinning. And I thought, actually, Foley might know he's made a cock-up here and then overcompensate. But it never happened. He was just holding on to Dan Dupree. Okay, Curry came in, and I think they want to crack down on this, coming in from nowhere, getting aggressive. But all Curry was doing was just shoving him off from holding on to one of our players to get the ball so we could go quickly if we wanted to. Atrocious decision. And not consistent either. There was a couple of times, Alex, you called it, didn't you? What was that one?
Yeah, there was one where they got a free kick at a scrum, and then their tight pushed Will Griffjohn, which was a reaction. And then there was another one that was actually picked up by the commentators when Ross came in on Will Evans, I think, wasn't there? Yeah. Oh, it was horrendous. I mean, one's a dreadful decision that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life, and the other is Foley's call on that scrum penalty. Yeah, Sam James is the worst for me, I think. Unforgivable. It is. Whoever replied with the Joe Exotic gif to our tweet was absolutely bang on. I couldn't unsee it once I'd seen it. two horrendous decisions. Yeah, I thought... And we're recording this right after the game, so I haven't got my usual night's sleep to calm down, but I thought the referee was dreadful tonight. I just, like, some of the calls... Both ways. I think we got away with stuff that we shouldn't have, and Quinn's got given penalties that just seemed obscene to me. And I'm sure I'll temper that decision. So if you're listening to this when you've had a night's sleep, please bear that in mind. But I just, certainly the breakdown, some of the calls were very, very dodgy. And just the kind of way he was... dealing with the players as well. It just, I don't know, I think it didn't make for a great spectacle of a game, apart from the fact that we had a great ending to it. So, yeah, that's all I'll say about that. I can't get fined, luckily. They can't come after me for bringing the game into disrepute.
Let's not overlook the fact that if Foley had stuck to the precedent that he set with that Danny Kerr penalty, Sale could have had the penalty that led to them taking the lead reversed, because you know, you have John O'Rourke just pushing Will Evans out of the way. And it's like, you know, it's little moments like that where you want your refereeing to be consistent, obviously, if you're a Quins fan. But at the same time, I wholeheartedly agree, really poor game, some very strange decisions. And, you know, lost in the fact that Sale ultimately win by 8 points is the fact that off that penalty that he reverses in Quins's favour, Quins eventually, a couple of phases later, are able to score a try because they've, you know, gained 15 metres from the kick. So, you know, it could have been really costly for Sale. Ultimately, I think the best team on the night just about won, but it was really bloody close. But yeah, really nice that ultimately Sale's extra bit of star quality allowed us to kind of win without having to worry too much about refereeing decisions in the grand scheme of things. But we're not gonna focus on the negatives. This is a great night for Sale. It's a great night for the club. It's a great night for the fan base. And I guess we'll kind of round things off now, because there isn't much else to talk about. Sale of the Premiership Rugby Cup champions. We all know what this means as a building block for the club moving forward. But Alex, James, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts very briefly on Sale's decision to come out in the RIP Alan Blees t-shirts and hoist the trophy wearing those as well. I mean, I don't know, Alex, we'll start with you. I mean, do you think that moment kind of epitomises the club and the ethos that they're building, you know, winning trophies but staying very true to the roots of the club and those who have come before?
Yeah, exactly. I think it was a really nice touch, and hopefully it kind of, you know, reinforces that we have got a very sort of almost family feel around the club. I think part of that comes from how involved the owners are and how invested they are in it. And then, I mean, they're that invested that Jed Mason's handing out Mawson caps to the whole team, which Rob Dupree very subtly put on in the interview. But, you know, I think you have got a really good sort of core of people behind the team there that aren't going anywhere. You know, players will come and go, and I think you kind of have to accept that. And we want academy products to stay, but it's the people off the field, and especially other people who've kind of, you know, in the current climate, getting these games on, making them run, getting the team around, and that kind of thing. All of those people are so important to the club, and it's good to see that they will kind of, you know, be, you know, respected and remembered, and will leave their legacy on the club as well as the players that come through. So, yeah, massive, massive fan of that. And I think it's exactly the kind of club we want to be. So, really good to see.
Yeah, I just echo everything that you just said there, Alex. I mean, you know, Trafford Council might not want us, but, you know, we've proven there that we are a community club, and, you know, the people who have been involved in the club for many, many years stay true to the core of who we are and those values as a club. And you know, hopefully one day those values can be shared by Sale as a town as well, and we can be based back there. But now, you know, it's winning trophies and all those people that have worn the jersey or worked for the club or played for the club over many years can hopefully find, you know, pride from that. So let's kick on from here and hopefully get ourselves to another final in the coming weeks.
Absolutely. So we're not going to labour the point. We're not going to talk about Saints next week, because this is the Champions edition. We just wanted to talk about the game that we've just all witnessed, and we want to kind of leave it at that. Tonight, Sale have ended a 14-year drought for silverware. This is a real stepping stone moment for the club. It's a signal, hopefully, of things to come. And we are delighted on a personal level for being able to talk about some silverware for the first time in the Shark Tank's history. So fingers crossed, not just for the club in its new era, but for our podcast as well. This will be the first of many that we'll get to discuss. That's everything from my side. Alex, James, was there anything else you'd like to mention on the Premiership Rugby Cup final before we go and continue our celebrations into the Monday night?
No, the only thing for me is I just really wish, or I really hope, that Weber's hurt his non-drinking arm, because I imagine he's going to be doing quite a lot of drinking tonight. It was good to see him there, you know, still celebrating with the lads. I'm sure he'll have a few beers.
Yeah, somebody took the car keys off him, eh?
Alex, anything from you to round things off on what has been a triumphant night for our Sale Sharks?
Oh no, just enjoy it. It's so good. I'm so happy. Unbelievable. So massive well done to everyone involved, and hopefully the first of many trophies that we do a podcast on.